Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Sunday, April 1st, 2012, as we record this. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bowe is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello!
And the two of us just did our pre-show conversation and decided we have absolutely nothing to talk about, so goodbye!
Bye! Bye-bye!
Yeah,
it was close to that anyway.
You're not quite that lucky.
Jesus Christ, but... Fuck. I mean, I don't know. Is it me or... Look, I mean, or not much happened this week.
We're starting to hit that slow period. I mean, like, I've got a few things to talk about the election, because I went to the Republican convention. But basically, the bottom line here is we're done with the primaries. I mean,
right.
Romney's wrapping it up now. I mean,
yeah.
The last, you know, when last we spoke about this, we said the chance of any of the non-Romneys actually winning was zero.
Went to none. Right.
Was zero and had been for a while.
Right.
The chances of them blocking were pretty
rapidly
damn
evaporated.
Slim. It wasn't quite impossible yet, but pretty damn slim.
Right.
And then the last place that to talk about was Wisconsin, because Santorum was ahead in the polls in Wisconsin. And frankly, you know, this Tuesday we have D.C., Maryland, and Wisconsin. And, you know, D.C. and Maryland, really Romney territory. I mean, there hadn't been any polls in D.C., I think. There's now one poll in Maryland, but they were Romney territory. Even if Santorum won Wisconsin, it still wouldn't be enough to be on a case on a pace to be catching up, or even maybe enough to keep on a pace for blocking. But new polls in Wisconsin, Romney way ahead.
Right.
These are winner take all. If Romney gets D.C., Maryland, Wisconsin,
game over.
Game over.
And yes, there are
states after that that theoretically could be won by somebody other than Romney.
Although
even like Pennsylvania,
right,
where Santorum was way ahead, he's now slipping. Romney's gonna, you know, because we've talked about this over and over again for the last month or so. Once there's a clear winner, people stop voting for the losers.
Right.
You know, so you know, even if there's a smattering of delegates that go to other people past this point, Romney's got this.
You know,
and Romney not only is going to have the plurality of the delegates, he's almost certainly going to actually have the majority of the delegates. It may take him a little while longer to rack up all the delegates he needs, but it's going to happen. You know, again, unless the only way around this now is something completely catastrophic that causes Romney to drop out. You know,
yeah,
so
like I mentioned the possibilities. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I don't know. To be
look,
I have seen crazy shit happen, and candidates still not drop out.
Yes,
remember the whole Jennifer Flowers thing with Clinton. I mean, let's face it. Everybody thought he was done. Everybody thought he was done, and he still went and came back and still, you know, won the damn thing. Okay, so, I will never forget, like, years ago, there was an election in Argentina. They posted videos of the presidential candidate with a hooker in a room shoving a dildo up the guy's ass on prime time.
That's
and the
nice.
Guy still didn't even drop out of the race.
That's nice.
He claimed apparently that he was kidnapped and drugged.
I suspect that if that video surfaced with Romney in it, he might drop out.
I would say that probably in the U.S., yes, you could drop out. But my point is that guy didn't drop out even after that came out.
Yeah, look, you know, anyway, the point is it would take an absolute catastrophic meltdown of epic proportions,
yes.
You know, unprecedented in the history of American politics. Yeah, for Romney not to be the Republican nominee.
I mean, the last guy that really dropped out because of something really like this that I'm remembering was what was the guy? Was it Gary Hart?
Gary Hart did, but you know, look, Gary Hart, yeah, this was he dropped out at the very beginning. I mean, it was like right after New Hampshire or something.
Right.
You know, and yeah, I mean, they caught him having an affair or whatever because he was stupid and said, "Come look for it."
Anyway. Right, you idiot. And then everybody said, "Oh, okay, we'll look for it."
Yeah. So, anyway, but like, yeah, I don't think we've had a situation where at a fairly late stage in the process things have changed. I guess the most recent exception that I can think of would actually be 1968 when Robert Kennedy was assassinated. You know, and it wasn't even this far along in the process. But that's, you know, that's the kind of catastrophic event that would throw things back into chaos. Not that I'm suggesting anybody do anything like that, just to be clear.
Right.
But yeah, you know, look, it's done. Yeah, it's done. The last nail in the coffin of any hopes of a brokered convention are going to happen this Tuesday. You know, and then it's just a matter of Romney doing wrap up to you know, get all the delegates he actually needs, but he'll be able to do it. And so what this means, and we actually said something to this effect back in January when we were talking about, you know, what we would talk about this year. We'd said, you know, hey, we're probably going to talk about the election every single week until November. And then Yvonne, you quite rightly pointed out, well, yeah, but at some point the nominee is going to be wrapped up and then nobody's going to care until the fall.
Right.
You know, and so we're going to have the summer period where... Yeah. You know, it's good. Yeah, whatever. I don't know what's going on. Blah, blah, blah.
We are experiencing a lull.
A lull. Yes. And so, not to say there won't be some stuff going on, but it's people's attention is not going to be as focused on this stuff until we start getting into Romney talk, you know, all the speculation about who's going to be Romney's VP.
Right.
You know, and he'll probably not, I mean, I've heard some of that already, but that's probably not going to get really intense for a little while. We're going to have that lull.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we are. But we're coming up on it.
And so we may even have some weeks where we don't talk about the election at all.
I mean, there's nothing to say. I mean, you know, there may be nothing to say. I mean, it is what it is.
So let's take a quick break and then I'll talk a short amount about my experience at my local Snohomish County, Washington Republican, or the Snohomish County Republican Convention in Washington State.
What the fuck county?
Snohomish.
What the fuck does that mean, Snohomish?
It's a Native American name.
Okay, all right, that explains that.
Snohomish County. Anyway, okay. We'll be back after this, and I'll talk about my experiences there.
Okay.
This is a break. Oh, yes, this is a break. This is a break because no one gave me any suggestions. I warned you. So this is a break. This is a wonderful break. A wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudge's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break, 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 yes, 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 this is a break, yes, this is a break, 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 yes, it is a break, and now the break is over.
Okay, we are back. I know, very exciting. Now, before...
Yeah.
You know, I get into this. Since you asked.
I asked.
The county is named after the Snohomish tribe.
Okay.
The Snohomish are Lushootseed Native American tribe who reside around the Puget Sound area of Washington. The tribal spelling is Snohdohhosh, which means wet snow, according to the last chief of the Snohomish tribe, Chief William Shelton.
Okay.
There is debate among historians as to the actual meaning. Some believe it means a style of union among them of the braves, while others believe it means sleeping waters, while others believe that the actual spelling is S-B-O-H-O-B-I-C-H.
Interesting.
But the normal spelling of the county is Snohomish, Snohomish. Anyway, it's it's the county in which I now reside. It's the county north of King County, which is where Seattle is. For those of you who remember, I was elected a delegate in my precinct caucuses. Three people showed up. There were three spots, so we all got in to the next level in the caucus process in Washington State. I went today as a representative who had previously stated my support for Ron Paul. And, I live tweeted the event yesterday, so I encourage people who are interested. I Twittered. For people who are interested in the details, once a day, I automatically post on my blog all the things that I tweeted the previous day. Look at the ones for March 31st, and the one for April 1st hasn't been posted yet as I talk right now, but it will be probably by the time this comes out. Look at those 2 days if you want to see all the details. It was, a harrowing process. I got there between 8 and 9 a.m. For the pre-registration stuff. The gavel came down a couple minutes after 9 a.m.
It didn't come down on your head, I hope.
No. I finished up... the last bit of actual business there finished up around 11:30 p.m.
Ouch!
And I stopped.
No wonder you were dragging when I heard you this morning. And Jesus!
I stopped my live coverage and went home a few minutes after midnight. So
that was a lengthy day.
Yeah, if you do the math there,
Did they provide food? I hope.
You could buy a little box lunch.
Wait, box lunch. What happened with dinner?
No, there was no dinner.
Holy fuck!
So the hope that everybody had was that this would be all wrapped up by 5 p.m. But that didn't happen.
Definitely not! Jesus, what made this thing drag out so long?
Well, so, there are a couple things. First, there were there were a few delaying tactics and things that happened early in the day. For instance, first of all, the meeting called to order at 9 o'clock. The first few hours are just random politicians giving speeches, local candidates for Republican office and things like
always
that.
Always fun.
While the credentials committee validates that all the right people are there and they're the people that are supposed to be there and they seat alternates and things like that. The first thing that they do is they select a permanent chairman for the convention, because it's some temporary guy who starts it. And normally this is a completely pro forma thing, where somebody nominates the guy everybody expects to do it, and then somebody seconds it, and then they say, all in favor say aye, a bunch of people say aye, and you're done.
Okay.
But they had... several more people were nominated besides the guy everyone expected. So there was supposed to be an election. So the chair did the voice vote. And after everybody said aye for the first guy, he said, we have a chair. But of course he hadn't asked for votes for the other people running. Even though it was absolutely clear there was a majority for the first guy. And so that was disputed. So we had to do a actual counted vote. And all of these candidates got to give speeches for why they thought they should go. And that process took like an hour and a half.
Okay.
And similar things like that. And then when you get to the point where you're nominating people to go on to the next level,
mm-hmm.
Everybody gets to give a 30-second speech. Okay. Well, the number of nominees to go to the next level, we break up into legislative district. Like the meeting is the whole county, but then it breaks up into legislative districts to select the delegates to the next level. And so, for instance, in my particular area, there were 300 and some delegates that were there, and almost two-thirds of them wanted to be delegates to the next level. So that was like, it was 152 or so people who wanted to go to the next level. And each one of those 152 people got to give a 30-second speech.
Wow.
You know, and then there was voting and multiple rounds of voting, because out of those 152 people, you had to pick 39 people to go on to the next level. And there were rules about how that happened. Like, everybody votes, and then only the people who actually got a majority of everybody there get to go on. And then if you don't have enough, then you drop out a certain number of people, and then you do it again. And if you don't have enough, you drop out a certain number of people, and you do it again. And, you know, repeat until you've got everybody you need. And then you have to do a similar but different process to select alternates.
Interesting.
And so... You know,
but this thing kept going on and on.
On and on and on.
On and on.
And like I said, look at the Twitter stuff to get the blow-by-blow if you care. And I frankly know absolutely no one out there is going to do that. That's okay. I actually had a number of people, as it was going on, retweeting me and responding to me and asking questions about what was going on. So that was kind of cool. But the one thing that I didn't put in the Twitter feed that I think is worth talking about here, just for a few minutes, is I, of course, did this in 2004 for the Democrats. So what's the comparison? Now, there are a couple things. In 2004, I was in King County with the Democrats, which was huge. Now, it also went from very early in the morning to after midnight.
I do remember that, yes.
And this was in the heat of, you know, Obama versus Clinton last time around. This time the group was a bit smaller, and I think that has to do with A, Snohomish County is smaller than King County, and B, I think the Republicans are probably smaller, although they may be better, stronger in Snohomish County than they are in King. In King County, the Republicans are very small, but I don't know about Snohomish. But anyway, there are a couple things. First of all, the Republicans were, in fact, better organized. Yeah, this may not be a surprise. Democrats are usually very rowdy and out there, but this was a lot less chaotic. Even with, you know, the delaying tactics and the craziness and, you know, having to do the manual count of people for the chairman and the multiple rounds of voting and blah, blah, blah. It was very well run and straightforward, and, you know, and people were very civil. With the Democrats, through that whole 16-hour ordeal or whatever it was last time around, I can't say I ever, you know, sort of really got to have conversations or anything with the people around me. People moved around. There were just too many people. It wasn't the same people around you at any time. This time, with the Republicans, there were a bunch of people that were sitting near me. And as this went on, you know, we had conversations. We talked about stuff. People were talking politics. Some of that may have happened in King County 4 years ago, but it didn't. I didn't get sucked into it, I guess. Also, surprisingly to me, like, there were plenty, don't get me wrong, there were plenty of sort of rabid partisan speeches, and when you had the candidates come in, you had quite a few who were, you know, there were a few that were, like, sort of the red blood conservative, you know, Obama's a socialist, you know, we're all going to hell, we have to get Obama out, anti-abortion, you know, pro-gun, and anti-UN, blah, 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 blah. There was some of that, but I actually felt it was more subdued than the Democrats 4 years ago in terms of how much the Democrats were saying the Republicans were evil. And just in general, the whole thing was a little bit more subdued and calm, and people, sort of doing their thing and giving their speeches, and people went rah rah. But like, it was it was less chaotic. In the Democrats, you know, there was the anti-Republican, you know, we got to get rid of Bush. Bush is evil. The Republicans are evil. We need to blah, 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 seem to actually be more strident than at this one. You know, and again, don't get me wrong. There was plenty of that here. But it was a different tone, and the Democrats last year also, when they were celebrating, when they were doing, it was like a big, huge-ass party. This was like a calm group of people doing their business. Yeah, so, interesting difference, and maybe that's just part of the difference between Republicans and Democrats, I don't know. But yeah, so, I'll just point out, too, that I mentioned last week that the way the rules were structured, even though coming into it, the delegates for my legislative district were just under 50% Romney, 25% Paul, 15% undecided, and the rest split between Santorum and Gingrich, that the rules were such that it was fairly certain that Romney should get all 39 delegates coming out of this.
All of them? Okay.
He should have. He did not.
Oh.
Which I also found very interesting. Because, like, what should have happened, okay, with a well-organized, well-disciplined campaign, is that out of all of the delegates there, they pick the 39 Romney folks they want to go on to the next level. They tell all the Romney people to vote for those 39 people and another 39 alternates, probably. Although they, you know, something like that. Although they didn't have quite enough people running to do that. But at least for the main delegates, you know, here, Romney folks, here are the 39 of our people. We want to go to the next level. All of you Romney folks, vote for these 39. And we'll convince a few of the undecided, just a handful of the undecided, to also vote for the Romney slate. If that had happened, we would have had one round of voting. And in that one round of voting, all 39 Romney folks would have got in, and we would have been done with 100% Romney going to the next level. They did not have that level of discipline. They split their vote, you know, all kinds of people. There was a slate that was handed out, but apparently it wasn't pure Romney. It was Romney plus a couple Santorums, and I don't know what. But, you know, that was a little bit unclear. But in any case, the Romney folks must not have been very disciplined about voting for the people they were supposed to vote for, because round after round, tons of Romney people got eliminated for not getting enough votes because Jeez. People were voting for whoever the hell they wanted to.
Yeah, for the love of God.
Based on the speeches. So where we ended up out of the 39 delegates was 25 for Romney, 7 for Santorum, 5 for Gingrich, 1 for Paul, and 1 who gave no speech, so I don't know who they were from. Hi, this is Future Sam. Just wanted to do a piece of additional information here. As I pause dramatically, I got a little bit of additional information. The one person who I said did not give a speech, Bruce Morton, the coordinator for the Ron Paul people, tweeted me later and said he looked that person up, and indeed that person was a Romney supporter. So the final results were Romney 26, Santorum 7, Gingrich 5, Paul 1. And also, since Future Sam is speaking, there was a piece of feedback last week I forgot to mention, which was our longtime listener Matt wrote in to mention that he liked it when Future Sam talked. So, hi, this is Future Sam. I'm talking. Okay, back to the show. But, you know, the interesting thing about this process, of course, is, you know, if it was proportional, you would expect about half to go to Romney, about 25% to Paul, then the others. You'll notice there that, you know, Romney did get more than 25%, although he didn't get more than half, although he didn't get all of them, which he really should have if he'd been well organized here. But Santorum and Gingrich passed Paul, even though they were behind him based on the number of people initially supported. And that's, again, it's all related to how the voting works and the fact that you have to get a majority of the majority of the people there have to vote for you in order for you to get into the next level. even if, yeah, so like the fact that any Ron Paul people got in with a 25% support, you know, after needing 50% to actually get voted in is actually kind of, wow, look, that happened. But Gingrich and Santorum had even fewer supporters coming in, but they got more delegates coming out. Yeah, and yeah, this is affected by the discipline people have in voting for delegates. This is affected by who shows up. This is affected by who leaves before the end of the process. We had four rounds of voting in order to select the delegates and two more rounds to select the alternates. Each one of those rounds of voting took about, you know, 15 minutes just to fill in the damn bubble sheet, and then another half hour or so to wait for the results to be counted. So the process takes a while. And so at each round of voting, we had fewer people than the round before. And so who wins is affected by who leaves and who stays and which people actually decided to run for the next level as well. Because the next level, the state convention, is a significant commitment. It's an entire weekend. It's in Tacoma, which from where we are is, you know, a couple hours drive away.
Okay.
So most people would want to get hotels and stuff. The plane up registration for the bare minimum is $100. And then, you know, if you're going to attend workshops and have the dinner and have the hotel and blah, 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 you know, you're talking a few hundred dollars to go to the next level.
So, and they ain't paying it for you, right? You got to fund it out of your own pocket, right?
Absolutely. And so, like, it's a serious commitment to go to the next level and run for that. So, you know, you have to have a group of people willing and committed to do that. You have to have your people disciplined enough to vote for your own supporters. But again, like, there weren't enough. Like, you have to vote 39 people in. There weren't enough Paul people running to fill 39, so you have to vote for other people too, but which other people do you vote for? It's a weird strategic stuff going on. And anyway, the result is you come out with delegates going to the state convention with a very different mix than the delegates that came in to this level. And it's weird, and this is where we talked about before, you know, this is a crazy ass way to do this, you know, as opposed to, say, a primary and then allocate the delegates proportionally. Done.
Right.
You know, or even winner take all for that matter. I mean, I prefer the proportional, but, you know, something straightforward. In this kind of process, and this is true of all the caucus states, each level has very, very specific rules. Who gets through from one level to the other depends very, very highly on the exact nature of those rules and the commitment and dedication of the specific people that got elected to each level as they go through the process. And it's very chaotic, very unpredictable, hard to say what'll actually come out the other end of that process if you just know the results at the beginning. Like, all that's reported on caucus night days is the results of the straw poll. You don't know who actually got elected delegate. You don't know who those people support. As they go through the process, you know even less. Sometime at the end of the process, like in Washington State, this process doesn't end until June. You actually get the delegates out the other end. And what comes out the other end may have no relation, well, probably will have no relation whatsoever to what started the process. Anyway, crazy.
Crazy.
That went on way too long. Let's take a break. We'll be back after this with something. I don't know.
Something.
BlackBerry, some tech stuff maybe. I don't know.
Who knows?
Lottery, April Fools. I don't know. This whole... Anyway, we'll be right back.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Hey, this is Future Sam again. Just a heads up, in this next segment, as sometimes happens on this show, Partway through, my son Alex came and started climbing on me and started yelling and started trying to get me to go downstairs and blah, blah, blah. And it was very, very disruptive. So I will try on this recording to, you know, mitigate the effects of that as much as possible by reducing volumes and changing things around and things like that. But you'll still probably hear it. I also used the mute button some, which I don't think worked out that well, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, here's the next segment, and sorry about the disruptions. It's cool when he's, like, just comes in and plays for a second, but when he, like, yells and keeps me from thinking or talking to Yvonne, that's not as good. Okay. Yvonne, we're back. And so this explains why I'm tired, like I said. And, oh, by the way, before this, what did it end up? It ended up like a 16-hour ordeal or something. Did I get that right? 16 hours?
What time did you start?
I started between 8 and 9 in the morning and ended up at midnight.
So 16 hours.
You know, so anyway, before that even started, the night previously, I had 3 hours sleep.
Oh, lovely.
And I'll tell you briefly before we talk about REM or whatever. There are two reasons for that. One was my son was sick, up coughing and stuff like that. Boy. So he was up and down all night. But two, and probably more relevant, you know, I think I mentioned Amy got her driver's license recently.
You were mentioning
She turned 16 in October. We got her a car in December because, like, just too the logistics are just too hard to get all of us everywhere we need to go every day without her being able to drive her damn self. We got her a used car in December. She didn't actually get her license until late February. Okay. I meant to post something on my blog, but I forgot. Anyway, so she was out doing something with friends last night and was supposed to be home at 11:30, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 11:25, we got a call. She hit a car.
I was about to say, that's how she got into an accident.
As it turns out, it was very minor. There's a scratch on her car, there's a scratch on the other guy's car, but it's a scratch. It's not like, you know,
people's... It's not a dent.
It's not a dent. It's not like people's cars were totaled. No one was hurt. Blah, blah, blah. Now, the other guy, they were on like, not like a interstate highway, but like the kind of major road that, you know, doesn't have a shoulder and has like malls and stuff on the side.
Okay, like a US, like a US one, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like that. So, after this happened, you know, she waited, instead of pulling over in the middle of the street, she waited and pulled over at the next parking lot like she was supposed to. While she was doing that, the guy called the cops and said she was trying to do a hit and run.
Oh, God.
But, of course, she came out and, hi, Alex, and went right over to his car and said, oh, my God, are you okay? Here's my information. Get yours. Let's exchange our information. The cops came and they looked at the scratch on his car, and they laughed at him. the cops laughed at him and said, you didn't need to call us. Just exchange your damn information. She's learned her lesson. They were trying to get... the guy was trying to get them to write her a ticket or something, but the cops were just like, you got to be kidding me. No. While she was dealing with all this, she left her car running, and the battery died.
Wait a minute. Wait. Well, she didn't leave her car running. She must have left it on the accessory.
Whatever. Yeah.
She was all nervous, freaked out. She got into the accident. She pulled up. So when she...
Yeah,
she didn't turn it all the way, left it on an accessory, round out the battery.
Yeah, so. Anyway, so, and the battery, like, had an issue, apparently, too. So we waited, So I stayed home with Alex. Brandy went to get her and then wait to get her jumped and blah, 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 blah. End result, I didn't go to bed till after 2 in the morning. And then I had to get up and leave by around 7:30 in the or whatever, or 8
o'clock. Quite an eventful weekend for you, then.
Yeah, exactly. So I had no sleep, and then last night I didn't get home till 2 or something. So I'm running on fumes, so that's why I'm rambling. So why don't you talk about RIM?
Well, what I was going to mention about RIM is that this week they announced their financial results, which, you know, were shockingly bad. I don't think anybody expected them to be as bad as they were. I mean, revenue dropped like over 20%, so they're running off. They're really going off a cliff. I mean, they went from the prior year where they made $1 billion in profit to about a $200 million loss, which I think that was the alarming thing. One of the co-founders and the guy that was co-CEO, Jim Balsillie, resigned from the board, along with two other executives of the company resigned as well in the week. Basically the current CEO of RIM announced that they were exploring basically any option, including selling the company at this point, right now. Which is just a stunning, like, reversal, for this company, like, in the last, 24 months, how bad things have gotten. The fact that they lost money, okay, and the fact that, you know, Apple has $100 billion in cash, but RIM doesn't. I looked up a chart. They only have like $2 billion in cash. Now, they have no debt, okay? So, I mean, they probably could get some people to loan them money, okay? But, I mean, it's putting them in a really precarious situation of where they are and what the direction to go in the future is. A number of people have speculated that they may be a takeover target, but even at the depressed stock price that they are right now, it's still a $7 billion market cap company. And that's a big purchase for anybody to pick up on a company that's losing money. And, a number of people mentioned and started bouncing around that Nokia and Microsoft had kicked the wheels around on research and motion in the last, like, 24 months. They had basically turned that down. They had also turned down some other people injecting some money. But I guess the one thing that kept being bounced around this week, and I wanted to see your take on this, is like some people saying about, RIM getting bought out, but somehow says they have not been able to launch a new OS to somehow adopt the new Windows Mobile as Nokia has done for their OS. I don't know what you think about that. I don't know. I mean, I started thinking about it, and it seemed a little bit crazy to me at this point. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I've been on mute since I have Alex on me right now. So if you've heard me cut in and out, that's why.
Okay.
But I don't know. It seems like it's a – they're in a losing game. They need a game changer or they're done. They're probably done no matter what. So I guess it's time for the Hail Mary throw or whatever it is and – try whatever the hell they can think of, because I mean, what do they have to lose? I mean, they're gonna die, So you might as well try something completely radical and see where you go. I'm not sure Windows Mobile is that radical thing, but they might as well try something.
I mean, I guess that it is a radical thing, and given their inability to launch a new operating system. It's certainly an option. A lot of people keep talking that Nokia has had remarkable success with their latest phones that they launched with Windows Mobile. But what do you think about – my thing is everybody keeps talking about how the inherent value is this whole, like, secure email thing, right? I mean, when you use a BlackBerry, contrary to, say, when I buy an Apple phone, okay – I'm going to connect to an email server. I connect directly through that email server.
Yeah.
When I'm using BlackBerry, either I'm connecting to a company that bought Windows BlackBerry Enterprise Server, Or, as the vast majority of people, I connect through research and motions data centers that actually handle the handoff of email between the phone and the server. Okay. And the thing is that I'm like thinking, but there is an inherent value in that problem. Okay.
I don't really see why that model's any better. Or worse, really, than the other. I can see some reasons why worse. You're introducing another dependency to another service.
Which is why they've gone down a couple of times this last year, and people have had massive outages because of that dependency. So that's the one thing. People keep putting, like, a price tag on that, and I'm thinking, but is there really a price tag on that? I don't know.
Is it even a positive? You know? Yes, Alex.
So, you know,
I don't know. To me, every time I read another article on RIM, it's just. Yes, it's just another. Okay, RIM's slowly going down the drain. I mean, that's the summary of it, right?
Yeah, I mean it is, because the problem is that they're stuck. Like, honestly, it feels like a lot what kept happening to Apple in the midnight. Okay. Where they could not launch a new OS if their life depended on it, okay? You know, they kept coming around, and they kept working on a different version, they kept changing their version on it, they kept working on it, and nothing fucking came out. Nothing, okay? It was just, and that's how what's happening to Search and Motion feels. I feel that there is, like, you know, what Steve Jobs proved when he came back is that you really need a strong-willed technical leader. Okay? Even if the person is not that technical, to force development into a certain direction that the company needs to go.
And you have to... And I'm sorry, when we finish this, I'll fix that. But, and you have to have a vision of where that's going, too. I mean, it's not... You have to pick a direction and go, but yet... And I guess part of RIM's problem is just the willingness to actually decide what they're really doing and do it, but then you have to execute relentlessly, and it's hard to do that in the climate where you're in the process of going down the toilet. I mean, you have to turn things around, and that's hard.
I that's my problem.
I mean the time that they needed to react to this, I mean as soon as the iPhone came out, on the day Steve Jobs came up on that stage, they needed to have an, okay, everything is absolutely different, and now we're going to do something different to react. Assuming they couldn't predict it and do something before the iPhone launched. But even if not, they had to react instantly, and everybody else reacted with shit. Yeah, I mean, well, everybody else at the time poo-pooed the iPhone and was like, that's interesting Apple did that, but that's not going to be anything.
Right.
You know, you remember Steve Ballmer at Microsoft, like, making fun of it.
Oh, my God, yes. Daddy. Jesus Christ. He was probably the worst offender in that department. Yeah.
Yeah, so let's take a break. Let me try to get Alex settled, and we'll be back to maybe do a couple quick things and wrap it up.
Oh, where Daddy for? No!
Yeah.
In your back!
On my back?
Yeah. Got it.
Oops.
Whoa!
Oops. There we go.
Help! Please! Help!
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that, guys. Yeah. I know you could probably have problem hearing the last part of that segment. My apologies. He's downstairs with his mom now, protesting greatly because he would rather be up here
with
playing
Dada.
With me. Yeah. So, what else we have? We have not much. The Mega Millions thing happened. There was a little bit of a frenzy.
As we didn't win.
Yeah, I did not win.
No, neither did I. But actually, we're not a Mega Millions like state down here. We
and the, you didn't drive to the nearest Mega Millions state to buy some
lottery
particularly. Tickets.
Not particularly. I did not think that would have been a productive use of my time on Saturday.
You know, and so this was a Mega Millions state. I admit we bought $20 worth.
Oh, you did buy. Okay. All right. We bought $20. You know, what the hell? Let
and
it
you know,
ride.
My logic has always been, you know, look, lotteries are well known as taxes on the stupid. Because, you know, you're basically, you know, throwing money away. Well, it's not throwing money away. You're actually essentially donating to state services.
State government, right? And
yeah,
with the fact that maybe possibly you could get a return if you're lucky.
But that's the expected return is essentially zero.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so essentially...
So it's got to be money that you have that you can throw away. If you use primary use money, you're a fucking idiot. However, look, let me correct that. There was a consortium a couple of years ago that did these mathematical models on certain lotteries, and they predicted when it would be profitable to buy...
This is what I was about to say. You know, when the amount gets above a certain amount... You can do that. You could figure out that the expected return is actually positive. Now, this was not one of those cases. Naively, what you would expect is the odds of winning here are 1 in 175 million. So, if you've got the jackpot more than 175 million, then your expected result is above one. So you expect to actually do better than break even. So theoretically, in that case, if you bought every single combination and you bought 175 million lottery tickets, you'd actually make a profit on the day.
Right.
Now, the reality is that there are more factors there. One, take out taxes. Two, you have to allow for the possibility of multiple winners. Three, you have to allow for the expense and time of actually acquiring the lottery tickets,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, isn't very much if you're buying, like, $20 of lottery tickets. But if you actually were buying 175 million lottery tickets...
Yeah, it's a considerable... Right. It's a considerable expense. Yes.
So the bottom line is, now normally my rule of thumb is, you know, if you get above the point where the jackpot is more than the odds, buy $5 worth or $10 or $20 worth. Why not? You know? But really, to mathematically be at the point where it's actually probably worth buying, the jackpot has to go significantly higher than that. And, you know, you're still playing with what if there are too many winners? But anyway,
I wonder, you know, we have crossed a $500 million jackpot mark on both Powerball and Mega Millions.
It's
like,
only a matter of this particular was the biggest jackpot in the history of world lotteries.
Right. I can believe that.
There was a European one that was close a couple years ago, but this one just set the record. I think it ended up at 600 and something million. And then, if nobody had won, it would have been over $1 billion.
Yeah, definitely. It would have been over $1 billion.
You know, and that would have been interesting to see.
That would have been one interesting lottery. I mean, oh my God. I think then I probably may have considered like at least sending somebody in a drive somewhere to go buy me a few tickets. I mean, $1 billion jackpot. I mean, I gotta at least try for it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean that's just astounding. I mean, fuck, one ticket, you know, you take out the things and whatever, whatnot. Maybe you end up with $500 million after, you know, all said and done. Still, it's huge.
I could figure out a few things to do with $500 million.
Absolutely.
Although, you know, this is one thing that my wife and I have a debate on a few times. I'm all about, like, if by any chance we ever won a major jackpot thing, I'm all about be very, very conservative with it, stick it in a trust, live off the interest kind of stuff. And well, she's all like, I want to give all this, and I want to buy this, and I want to do that. And I'm like, I don't, because you hear about all these lottery winners who, like, blow it. And like, end up destitute or unhappy or whatever anyway.
It's a very, very common thing.
Because they have no fucking clue what to do with the stuff. They get all excited. They start buying boats and houses and blah, 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 blah. And you know, the next... And also, apparently, a big thing, too, is, like, you get scammed on a lot. You know, there are all kinds of people coming after you for their crazy investment schemes, for their charities, which may or may not be real. You've got all kinds of relatives coming out of the woodwork to want things and friends.
I got a very simple answer to all of those people. They go fuck themselves. I'm not that stupid.
But, you know, look, and you want to be nice and you want to do things and you want to...
Oh, fuck them. Listen, here's the thing. I know plenty of nice things to do without having a whole bunch of idiots come up to me and, like, try to sell me on some cockamamie scheme to be nice. Yeah. You know? Look, what? I could probably create, you know, I could go to, you know, I have a couple of alma maters that I went to school, good universities. I could probably, like, fund a number of scholarships and do that kind of stuff and, like, whatever and, like, you know, in school. So, I mean, that's easy to do. I don't need no fucking dumbass to come and tell me what the fuck to do in that respect.
Yeah, you know, but even so, I feel like, you know, I could probably avoid most of those pitfalls and do intelligent things, but nevertheless,
and my family, they can go fuck themselves.
I mean, if I was in that situation, the one thing, take the annuity, not the lump sum fee, because then even if I fuck it up completely one year, there's more coming the next year.
Right. You know, and you know, I mean, I'll give to my family as I deem appropriate. Anybody who I don't know as a family can go fuck themselves. There ain't no fucking family crawling out of the woodwork to fucking leech money off of me. I mean, you know, they'll be like, I don't know. If they
I'm
start
your second cousin three times removed. Don't you love me?
You know, like, if anybody ever comes up like that, you know, I don't know. I'll have to start hiring, like, a bouncer to have outside my property of fucking, like, you know what? You see one of these bozos, just fucking, like, punch him in the face and tell them to get the fuck off the property. Okay? You know? And don't even, like, engage him in a conversation. You know who my family is. You see this moron, he starts saying something, just fucking punch him. Okay? You know, so, yeah, Plus, here's one thing. A lot of the lotteries do allow for anonymity in terms of the winning the prizes, okay? Yeah. And I will guarantee you that I will pick to make sure that my name or anything is not published at all, okay?
Well, you could do that, but at the same time, I can imagine that people nearby you will realize something is up.
Here's the thing, though. I at this point, thankfully, I live in a neighborhood that is quite wealthy, okay? I got neighbors with Ferraris, so nobody will notice anything is that untoward, okay? Because, you know, luckily, I moved there, so nobody's going to notice a thing, okay? And let's face it, if you do get an award like that, one thing that you have to do, especially if you live in an area that is far more modest, you do have to move because you don't want what happened, like, for example, to, like, my sister's in-laws. They lived in a very modest neighborhood in Little Havana for many years, and they decided to move back to it after they had made a whole bunch of money. Dude, they broke into her house twice, okay, to rob them because everybody knew they had money, okay?
Right.
It's just everybody did. It's not a thing of, like, you don't want to be in your neighborhood, but let's face it, you know, too many people take the fucking opportunity and they realize that, you know what, you've got money, and unfortunately, it's not the majority of the people, but you've got these fucking people that just will not, you know, cannot resist the temptation. They went, they broke in, they put a gun to their head. I mean, it's just fucking stupid. Unfortunately, you know, it's a society that we live in, and, you know, especially in a large urban area, if you live in a large urban area like that, unfortunately, you're going to have to move because people are going to find out you got a lot of money, and they're going to do some pull an act like that. And you don't really, that's not really a lot of fun when people, you know, you're trying to get into your car and some fuckhead puts a gun to your head. Believe me.
Yeah,
I had that happen once, and that was no fun. Okay.
Yeah, so up come the gated neighborhoods and the tall fences and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's the world we live in, unfortunately. Yeah. So.
I mean, it, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so Mega Millions.
We didn't win.
We didn't win. Three people did, and they split the 600 and some million. And
congratulations to the winners. It's good for them.
Yeah,
it's
good for them.
Yep.
And then one last thing before we wrap up, I just wanted to briefly mention we're recording on April Fool's Day. It'll be after April Fool's by the time you listen to this, most likely. But this is one of the days where you almost want to just step away from the internet and not look at anything for a while. And because I find it like, I some people get really annoyed by it. I get a little annoyed by some of it because like I look at something and I'm like, what the fuck? And then it takes me like a fraction of a second to like realize it's April Fool's. Like, for instance, I'll tell you the first one that happened to me.
Which one?
For a little bit after midnight, right after I got home, before I went to bed, I was surfing the internet a little bit, looking at a few things. I use on my browser a plugin called AdBlock, which basically removes all the ads from any page you're looking at. Lots of ones, it just disappears completely. The content folds in around it. You don't know anything was there. Sometimes, though, it can't do that, so it leaves a little gray box where the ad used to be. So their April Fool's Day is, instead of removing the ads, they replace all the ads with pictures of cats. So I'm looking at this web page, and then I see the cat, and I'm like, "What the fuck? What's going on here? What? This is weird." And then it took me about 10-15 seconds, and then I'm like, "Oh, it's April Fool's Day." You know, then we have like Richard Branson launching the launch of Virgin Volcanic, which is.
You're gonna have to dive into a volcano.
Exactly. Only a handful of people have been into space. Only three people have been to the depths of the ocean. Nobody has gone into a volcano. Now you can with Virgin Volcanic.
That is not a true story.
Not a true story. Think Geek always has some interesting ones. They always have a bunch of April Fool's products that they announce on as part of their catalog on April Fool's. But the interesting part of that is every year in the last several years that they've done this, at least one of the products has had people respond by, "Oh my God, that would be so cool! Please make it!" And they've ended up making it. Like for instance, a couple years ago, they had a sleeping bag. In the shape of a tauntaun. That's that animal that Luke Skywalker split apart with his lightsaber. And split inside of. So it's a sleeping bag that you open up the animal and you sleep inside it. Every year they've done something like that.
That's pretty disgusting. I get it. It's just a concept. Okay. All right, I want to sleep, but now
you can buy that.
Great.
You know, so like,
let me get two.
And today they've got things like a Playmobil Apple Store playset, a lightsaber ice pop.
Lightsaber ice pop. Okay.
Angry Birds pork rinds.
Angry Birds pork rinds. Interesting.
You know.
I mean that's actually, you know, I can see the marketing on that one. Okay, you know, using that brand.
Yeah, a knife that screams when you cut meat.
A knife. Oh, that's just stupid.
Squeeze bacon.
Squeeze bacon.
You know, like squeeze mustard or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, a bunch of crap like that. That's kind of funny. And then, you know, Google has a mode on Google Maps where you can click it and it looks like an old video game instead of a regular map. Anyway, there are tons of these. And I don't mind, the little jokey sites are like, okay, that's kind of funny. That's cute. I like that. That's a fun little tradition to do. The ones that I find a little bit more annoying are the people who do fake news stories of things that are outrageous, but not quite out of the realm of the possible. So it leaves you.
You're like reading it and you're like, fuck, are you kidding? Really?
Yeah, and like and of course that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do the things that when you first see them, you're like, "Oh my god, really?" And then it takes you a minute to realize, "Oh, April Fools." Yeah. Anyway, that's all I got.
Anyway, all right. So we're done. We're out. Sign off. Sayonara, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Big Curmudgeon in the Corner. You got questions, comments, anything relevant that you want to send us, email to the big boy over here, ablesmay@ablesmay.com.
Woo.
Thanks for everybody. And we'll talk to you next week, and probably we'll just, skip the whole political thing at that point. I don't know what the hell, because
we'll
have to go and just say, Romney's been, it.
Yeah, we'll actually have D.C., Maryland, and Wisconsin, and we'll actually be able to say what we said this week again, but with actual results instead of just whatever.
We said back in December anyway, so therefore, okay.
Said a year ago.
Right.
Not even December, like last January. Anyway. Goodbye, folks. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Have a good week. Goodbye.